when America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Friday the 13th. And there are people out there who are so stupidly superstitious that they believe in that nonsense. However, some people believe in facts. And that's what you'll get from the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer. Lair Adams joining you on a chilly but beautiful afternoon to start your weekend of love. Yep, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. And the best way to show your love is not a 5 foot, not enough room for it, teddy bear, or chocolates, or flowers. No, what's better and more effective is to sign your special someone up to be part of the American Adversaries Army. It shows you care and you know how smart they are. Our host has more all-star ribbons than Madonna has traffic cones on her chest. Christopher Hart!
Yeah, just hold on a second, Lair, there. Hold on. I've got my four-leaf clover here. I'm looking for my rabbit's foot.
You didn't drive here today, did you?
Uh-oh. All right. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. That's right. It is Friday the 13th, but we are here live on AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, we are coming to you from the mercury-free broadcast studios and for the very best in mercury-free dental care, no matter what day of the week it is or what day of the month it is, call my friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Got another big show lined up for you this week, and I do want to thank you folks who have signed up this week for the American Adversaries Army, and that's a great idea. Yeah, if you got a loved one who's really into, you know, what we're doing,
$60 for the year.
I'm telling you what, and the discounts and the coupons that you'll get will more than pay for it. I guarantee you. All right, but we got a big show lined up for you today, and I think you're really going to like it.
And it is the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, that's true, too. That's right. All right. And the very first newsletter is circulating around now. And so we're going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to be having a lot of fun. That's right. We're going to give you something for your money. That's for sure. It's not going to just be a postcard thing. All right. By the way, that website, once again, is AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And just follow the prompts to the recruiting office. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. We got some special guests. Nostra Dennis will be joining us later on. Dr. K is going to join us by phone because he's on his way down to the Rosen Shingle Creek, where I'll be joining him along with Carl Jackson tonight for the 2015 Lincoln Day Dinner and Gala featuring Rand Paul. And if you haven't got your tickets now, it's probably too late, but I hope to see you there. We also have on the show tonight Billy and Karen Vaughn. They're the parents of Aaron Vaughn, United States Navy SEAL Team 6, who was killed in something called Operation, I believe, Extortion 17. This was a helicopter that mysteriously went down very soon after the raid on Osama bin Laden. And, of course, we all know SEAL Team 6 was the team that took him out. There has been a lot of speculation. The speculation goes from it was a crash helicopter to it was a random, a lucky shot bringing it down to somebody tipped him off to it was a payback for somebody, to because we got Bin Laden. So we're going to talk to the Vons tonight about that. And, of course, we invite you to join the show anytime as well at 407-774-8255. And Nostra Dennis just let me know he's got a great Ruth Bader Ginsburg story at the end of the show. I think I know the one it is there, Nostra Dennis. I do. But it's going to be a big show, and we got a lot of the stuff to talk about. I want to start off with the murders in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, because this story is getting blown up. The storyline is being written as we speak, not the least of which by MSNBC, but also by governments and media outlets and organizations around the world. And so I want to begin to address it tonight. Probably going to address it a little bit more on Sunday night when I have a little bit more time, but I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about it because there's a couple of different angles that I want to cover on this. One angle, and this is the most important in a philosophical sense, if you will, is that what happened in Chapel Hill is the logical conclusion of a person who has no belief or no respect for a higher power or higher authority. And, of course, I'm talking about the murderer, this guy named Hicks.
Who's an atheist.
Yeah. And according to his ex-wife, now, once again, this is coming from an ex-wife, so we'll have to take that with a grain of salt, but she says that he showed no compassion at all for other people. And that is the logical conclusion of if you do not believe in a higher authority, because if you don't, then there is really no morality. There is no morality. If it does not come from a higher authority, it is entirely relative and therefore entirely subjective and therefore entirely as real as a puff of smoke, and you can hold on to it about as long. And so you need something more serious than that to back up a social contract, if you will. This is why our country was founded purposefully on the Judeo-Christian heritage, because it provides that moral foundation that you can actually build a civilized society on. And if you look around the world, the civilized societies are based on Judeo-Christian principles, each and every doggone one of them. Or I should say, God blessed one of them. And it is the other ones that fall short, way short. Which brings me to the storyline being written around the world, which is, oh, this is all because of, quote-unquote, the reporting on terrorist acts by the Western media. This is what we're hearing from the foreign news agencies. I'm talking in the Middle East and some in Asia area.
Well, we know they really mean Fox.
No, what I'm saying is that what we're getting inundated with around the world is American and Western media have been blowing up the situation, say, for instance, with the Islamic State, commonly known as ISIS. In other words, we're vilifying them. We're making it look worse or somehow badder than it is on the ground. And that's what's led to this horrific murder in Chapel Hill. This man was driven to these acts by what he's been seeing in the media and the way it's been reported. Those are the protest voices that we hear around. And by the way, we hear echoes of that on MSNBC. If you were listening to the fellow sitting in for Michael Medved today, and I don't think it's Mark Davis. The voice sounded different.
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah, I was in a hurry this afternoon. I didn't listen to a lot of the show. But he talks about this doofus Chris Hayes, who's just out of diapers on MSNBC, talking about this is a wake-up call for Muslims in this country about the bigotry that's going on against this and them and this and that and everything. And all I can do is say, well, let's follow your logic for a moment. Let's assume that the media has been reporting these acts of terrorism. Is it the media's fault that the acts are there to be reported? In other words, if we are to listen to the people in the foreign media, is the media to ignore these acts? Like when the guy was burned alive and the Islamic State put out the video for people to see it, were they to therefore suppress it and not follow the wishes of the Islamic State and show their despicable acts to the world? Is that what these people are asking for? Because that's what it seems to me. because they are deflecting all the attention from the acts of terrorism and evil themselves to the reporting of it, do you see?
Well, you can also see where they're starting to hijack a story that nobody knows anything about
yet. Exactly.
And this started out with a parking dispute.
Exactly.
And an imbalanced, deranged man.
Which is why I'm talking about the storyline is being written as we speak. And but this is template journalism. This is, you know, they have the template, and now the template is these poor sad Muslims. Why? Everybody beating up on the poor Muslims.
Last week it was the blacks, and this week it's Ferguson.
And I'm not trying to make any, you know, belittle how evil the act was that was committed by Hicks. But what I'm trying to say is that if I were a smart Muslim, I would think to myself, you know, I'm a smart Muslim, and this just might be a reaction to what's going on over there with the Islamic State. Yeah, it might. Now, I can sit here and be a dumb Muslim and blame it on the media, or I can be a smart Muslim and blame it on who the blame really needs to fall on, which, of course, is the Islamic State.
Well, my point, as far as especially with Ferguson, now we know the facts. We know that there was not a racial motivation whatsoever, and it still will not be dropped.
Yeah,
the facts have no purpose here.
And that's why I'm kind of, if you will, ignoring the facts.
Yeah.
Because the storyline is going to be written regardless of the facts.
Already,
and the storyline is going to be the poor old victimized Muslims over there in you know, the great Satan. And this is why we need to defeat the great Satan. Having said that, we are going to speak out and tell the truth, and I hope that there will be some members of the Republican Party who will show some backbone and step up and say, hey, if this was a reaction to events going on outside of the guy's mind and outside of his neighborhood, then it was a result of what the so-called moderate Muslims are allowing the other Muslims to do to their supposed peaceful religion. Having said all of that, I think that played a very small role in what actually happened, but get back to the original point, that doesn't matter, because the scripted storyline is going to be written as such. Mm-hmm. So we need to be prepared to deal with the scripted storyline and to point out that it is nothing but a fairy tale. And that's what we're getting, everything from the prime minister president, whatever they call him, Erdogan over there of Turkey, to media sources all over the Middle East. The poor Muslims getting picked on again.
Well, our own country.
You know,
MSNBC.
I warned on my very first blog, and we're going to start doing blogs again next week or very soon, but the first one is up there, and I think the only one. But on that blog, I talk about, hey, look, if you moderate Muslims don't clean up your house, somebody else is going to take care of the business for you, and it's not going to be pretty. And you really, at the end, you'll have no one to blame but yourselves. You can sit there and point at the media and say, oh, the media, they're reporting all these horrific acts. Well, all I have to say to that is, who in the hell is committing those horrific acts? And if you think that that is putting a bad face on Islam, then you need to get your butts on over there and straighten that mess out. Otherwise, fools like Hicks will step up and do it for you. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you've got the American Adversaries in drive time. 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart here along with Lair Adams in the studio. Our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, will be joining us momentarily. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, and he's got an escort there tonight, and that'd be Jerry Lair's brother in from California for their mama's 97th birthday. They're going to celebrate this weekend, so we want to wish Miss Adams a very, very happy birthday. All right,
she'll appreciate that, Chris.
All right, we have on the line with us right now, Billy Vaughn. Karen is boarding a plane, so she couldn't join us tonight, but Billy is going to join us, and he, of course, is the father of Aaron Vaughn, United States Navy SEAL Team 6, and welcome to the show this evening, Billy Vaughn. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you all very much for having me.
First of all, let me just say that Joe Whitehead, a friend of ours, he was on our show the other day for the first time, told us that you're fairly much a regular on his show, and he wanted us just to tell you hello.
Well, I appreciate Joe very much. Joe's been good to me, and he's become a friend of me also.
All right. Well, we certainly hope that we can be as well. Billy, let me ask you first. Of course, I want to talk about your son, Aaron. Tell us a little bit about your son and why he eventually wanted to join the Navy and, in particular, become a member of a SEAL team.
Well, Aaron had he'd grown up saying, you know, his dream was to be a Navy SEAL, but his senior year in high school, he tore his ACL. In fact, he tore it twice in the same year, and it ruined his football career. It also ruined, and in high school, it also, he thought, ruined any chances of him ever becoming a Navy SEAL, because after the second surgery, the doctor came in and said, I couldn't fix it. There wasn't really anything I could do this time. So when Aaron graduated, he went on and got a college degree. He was working in golf course management here in South Florida at Jupiter Island. But then when 9/11 happened, Aaron, on his 21st birthday, the following June 24th, after 9/11, 2001, came in and told his mom and I at the supper table that night, he said, I joined the SEAL Challenge program today. And, you know, I told him, you can't make it, son. You don't have an ACL. But he was determined, and he believed that's what God wanted him to do. He'd make it. And he did. He did. He didn't join to be in the Navy. He joined to be a Navy SEAL. And he graduated Buzz Class 248 and became a Navy SEAL.
You know, that's a remarkably similar story to, of course, the American Sniper and Chris Kyle, who became a Navy SEAL because of the embassy bombings and other events, including 9/11. He wanted to be a SEAL from the get-go as well. Have you seen the movie, or are you kind of afraid to see the movie?
Well, I'm not afraid, but I have not seen it. I imagine I won't go to see it. I didn't go see Zero Dark Thirty, Lone Survivor. I saw, Karen and I had to be at we had to speak at a private screening of it. And in fact, I think Karen probably did the same thing last night at, for American Sniper, because she had to be at an event in Denver and it was at a private screening. So she, but we hadn't planned on going and seeing them. We just don't see stuff like that anymore.
Right. Okay, and I don't blame you. By the way, speaking of events, folks, they'll be speaking at the Eastmont Civic Center Monday night for the Greater Orlando Tea Party, and doors open for that at 6:30. It is free, and I encourage you to go, and it's going to be this Monday night, Eastmont Civic Center. Billy, how long was Aaron a member of a SEAL team, and how long had he been on SEAL Team 6 in particular, if you can tell us?
Well, SEAL Team 6, he was only on SEAL Team 6 from 2010 and until he got killed in 2011. He'd been a member of SEAL Team 1 from the time he had joined and made it through Buds there in he joined the Navy in left for the Navy in November of 2002. So he was a member of SEAL Team 1 from about 2003, 2004, all the way up until, and an instructor 2 years there, until he became a member of 6 in 2010. And then he died August 6, 2011.
All right. I want to get to the events of what actually happened and what has transpired since then. But before we do that, I want to bring Dr. K. That's Ken Vihek, who's on a regular on our show on Friday. He's on the road right now, but he wanted to join us for this conversation. He was a member of the United States Navy on a submarine. Dr. K,
wow.
Dr. K, I presume that you worked at various times with SEAL teams deploying them or picking them up, didn't you?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, as the executive LPO, I had to actually go to Little Creek for a little bit to learn how to stow the SEAL equipment under the superstructure of the submarines, because when I was in, they didn't have those special compartments that are now built on board a submarine designed by the engineers for the stowing of that equipment. And it was a long process that I had to go through, because these gentlemen wanted me to understand the value of what I was doing. I had to live, eat, sleep, drink, and work out with these guys over a couple of months just to get the tenor of what I was going to be doing, the gravity of the situation, and how important it was that it was stowed just right.
Well, tell us.
I have so much respect for these gentlemen.
And I was going to say, tell us a little bit why you have such great respect, and especially for a guy like Aaron Vaughn, who overcame a severe knee injury. And you must know, folks, that becoming a Navy SEAL is one of the most strenuous, not only physical, but mental things that any person would ever put themselves through. What would that say about the character of a man, Dr. K?
Well, it just says that they have the drive and the passion, because it's more psychological than it is physical. At some point in time, your physical body just says, okay, if that's what you want to do, go right ahead. And the brain takes it out of the equation, and the body is so capable of exceeding all the limits that we think we have. But once you get the brain out of the way, then the psychological toughness comes in. And it's not so much that these guys are the biggest, baddest man in the room. They just walk in and they know that they're going to win.
Yeah. Billy, does that sound right about your son, a man who is passionate and driven and had a strong moral fiber, if you will?
Absolutely. He was driven. He had the moral fiber. And in fact, Aaron was a believer, and he absolutely believed, like I said, that that was his calling in life. He also believed that the war that threatens, the enemy that threatens our republic today, it's a battle between good and evil. It was a battle between our way of life, Western civilization, and a primitive, savage way of life. And he understood the enemy that was fighting, and he was passionate about that also.
All right.
Being able to see black and white,
I'm glad you said that, Billy. Please stay with us. We have to take a break. We'll pick you up on the other side. Thanks so much.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again with SoundbiteRx.com, and it is Friday, so we'll be praying today for the souls of people who I believe have been misled by the religion known as Islam. Today's prayer is focused on Muslims who happen to be disappointed with their religion, and there are those out there. More and more young Muslims are becoming dissatisfied and disillusioned with their religion. They feel confused and frustrated because they lack a sense of fulfillment and they have no assurance of eternity. As they rebel against the rigid belief system, many of them, whenever they get a chance, exit through any crack they can find. But the question is, exit to where or to what? The Church of Jesus Christ needs to do everything in her power to welcome them to the foot of the cross of our Savior. Today's prayer. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. That's 1 Chronicles 29:11. I fall to my knees and pray to you, my Father, creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from your glorious unlimited resources, you will empower your church to open her arms to Muslims. Give her love, wisdom, and power and strategy to bring them to you. Lord Christ and Lord of Lords, make your home in Muslim hearts as they trust in you. May their roots grow deep into God's love. Give them the power to understand and experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Many of those who are disillusioned with Islam be lost to heresies, atheism, or immorality. Please bring them into your kingdom, we pray. Blessed be your majesty in heaven, O God. Amen. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660, The Answer, where we are in search always for the truth. All right, a little bit of searching from Lynyrd Skynyrd for you there. We have Billy Vaughn, father of Aaron Vaughn, United States Navy SEAL Team 6. And Dr. K is on the line. Nasser Dinesh will join us shortly, but we still have room for you. If you'd like to be a part of the show, if you'd like to ask Mr. Vaughn a question about his son or compliment him on his son's heroism, 407-774-8255 is the number. Real quick before we get back to that, though, don't forget tomorrow is the Old Florida Outdoor Festival up here in northwest Apopka. It's real easy to find. Just go to Apopka, take Park Avenue north to Poncan Road, turn left, and look for the signs. $15 is where the tickets start, and you can get a two-day package for $25. It'll be a lot of fun. Starts tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Billy Vaughn, I want to ask now about how your son died. It's my understanding that he was on leaving a base on a mission soon after Osama bin Laden was killed in the raid, and the helicopter either crashed or was shot down. This is where it begins to get mysterious. And if it was shot down, was it a lucky shot or what else happened? Can you please just fill in the details? Tell us how your son was killed.
Okay. Yes, It was. It was 93 days after the bin Laden raid. But what happened, if, and I'm sure you or many of your listeners will believe, after the bin Laden raid on May 1st, 2011, Joe Biden came out on Monday morning and announced that it was the Navy SEALs who had indeed done the op. And eventually the administration turned it into SEAL Team 6. Aaron called his mom the very next day and said, "Mom, you got to get everything about me off social media, about your, about the family. Mom, there's chatter. Our lives in danger, Mom. The family's lives in danger." And all because of Biden outing the Navy SEALs. And we know this wasn't just Aaron's concern, because Defense Secretary, then Defense Secretary Robert Gates, also came out on TV and said we had agreed that the details of the raid would not be made public, but that all fell apart on Monday morning. So Vice President Joe Biden committed unprecedented breach of national security by outing the Navy SEALs. Things that took place immediately thereafter, the Taliban came out all over the internet saying there's going to be payback to SEAL Team 6. In the military information, the documents that we have, the Taliban began to move into the Taney River Valley with heavy numbers, large numbers, with heavy weapons, with the express goal of taking down a NATO chopper as payback for the bin Laden raid. Then on August 5th, 2011, a group of Rangers went out to snatch a high-value target in the Taney River Valley. And after some three and a half hours of an operation, they sent in the SEAL Team 6. Navy SEAL Team 6 went in as a quick reactionary force. We're told there are still different stories. We're told the official word from the military is that this high-value target had evaded the Rangers. But still, from time to time, we talked to just someone from the Pentagon back in September saying, no, the Rangers were being overrun. That's why the SEALs went in. We don't know the true answer to that. But regardless, the SEALs went in on a 1960-some-odd helicopter, retrofitted in the 1980s, the CH-47D, never built for a nighttime assault raid. Because we don't have enough special operations choppers, the MH-47 would be the special operation twin rotor version, you know, like the CH-47. Right. Went in with no pre-assault fire, and they were shot down by an RPG in what the military call a one-in-a-million shot. However, I can tell you that because of the rules of engagement, no pre-assault fire and a firefight already 3.5 hours underway, things, and not the right helicopter, that the American government has as much to do with the takedown of the chopper as the Taliban farmer who shot the chopper out of the sky, giving the worst loss in the history of naval special warfare and the largest one-day loss in our nation's war on terror.
Yeah, and certainly to the SEAL, any SEAL teams.
And you just don't hear anything about it.
Well, there was some vague reporting about it. Vague, very vague.
Very vague.
But you kind of had to dig deep for it. I want to ask this. Do you think that the Taliban knew that SEAL teams, or SEAL Team 6 in particular, was based at that particular location and set up an ambush to get SEAL teams drawn out into an area where they could actually take them down?
I'm sure that they knew SEAL Team 6 was there.
How would they have found that out?
Well, Aaron had told us before. They always know when we're there. SEAL Team 6 was in that area for a pretty long time with one team relieving another one every 4 months or so. They knew SEAL Team 6 was there. And I can also tell you this. They also could know that they were on their way, because by that time we were operating with the Operational Coordination Group of Afghanistan in 2011. And they had they're a group that worked specifically for the Karzai government. No oversight from the American military or the American government through a an agreement made with the Obama administration. They have eyes on every special op. They're comprised of the Afghan National Army, Afghan National Security Ministry, and the Afghan National Police. They have eyes on every special operation mission that takes place. They have the authority to squash that mission. They also, there's no oversight, but they also have the same equipment to watch an op take place, the radios, the technology, and everything that our forces have. So they absolutely knew that SEAL Team 6 was on their way. They absolutely knew it. I mean, the OCG did. And our own ambassador to Afghanistan said as early as 2009 that the Afghan National Army is at least 25% infiltrated by the Taliban. Harmy Karzai was the first one to come out publicly after the shootdown and confirm it was SEAL Team 6. They absolutely knew it. Can I prove that they ambushed them when they were coming in there? No, I cannot. But the best the military would say is we don't believe it was an ambush.
I want to get Dr. Ken's reaction on this because he's a military man and he, of course, worked with special ops. Dr. K, you just heard that. What's your reaction?
I completely agree that within the parameters of them being able to get the information and know the movements of the team, I really think that's the only way that this could have happened.
Especially since they
are just too efficient and too good otherwise.
And especially since, as Billy was saying, it was basically routine at this base. They didn't, in other words, move the SEAL teams around to kind of keep, you know, their whereabouts a little bit better hidden.
Correct. And so their movements would be, I wouldn't say announced, but they wouldn't be as covert as they usually are.
Right. Right, just because of the repetitive nature of them being there all the time, if for
exactly.
Nothing else. And, of course, the enemy has eyes on us as we have eyes on them, and as Billy was saying, eyes within our operation. And that and the rules of engagement are what trouble me the most about what we've been doing over there in general. Billy, do you have the same feelings?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, after Aaron was killed, you know, we had many special operations guys speak to us, some active, some already retired. But one SEAL Team 6 guy put it in these words, Mr. Vaughn, they are watering us down. And he also said to Karen and I, he said, we've been telling our leaders for a long time that one of these nights a suicide bomber is going to get on to one of these choppers with us. In fact, Mr. Vaughn, just the other day I got an email from one of my buddies who's deployed right now, and he said to me in the email, he said, Rob, he said, my greatest fear going out on these ops at night is being shot in the back of the head by one of my so-called Afghan allies. He said, we tell our leaders how these guys are, and they tell us we're not being logical. These guys' very religion tells them to lie and deceive, and our leaders absolutely refuse to face, to recognize, to acknowledge the ideology of this enemy, and they have put our warriors at extreme risk. The green on blue attacks, they just one after another, and even today, still today, we are being deceived by our very government. The American citizen is being deceived. Today, I sat here today and watched Admiral Kirby on Fox News, and I'll tell you what, the man has no credibility anymore. He seems to be carrying the water so much for the Obama administration, and they won't tell us who this enemy is, they won't acknowledge who the enemy is, but they continue to needlessly sacrifice our American warriors by submitting to this culture of radical Islam.
Billy, first of all, let me apologize to you for not starting off the evening by saying thank you so very, very, very much for the sacrifice that your family has made and, of course, your son has made for our great nation. There is no larger sacrifice, and it's particularly hard for the parents, and I want to just extend our condolences and our very, very heartfelt thanks for everything that your family has done for us.
Thank you very much. No apology needed.
All right. Well, this sort of thing really gets me my blood boiling, and that's why we do this show, is we want to get the word out. I got my producer on the line, and he has a couple of questions for you. So
okay.
Let's go to Nostra Dennis over at headquarters.
Yeah, hi, Billy. Thanks for joining us. The first question I've got is, if what you say is true and accurate, somebody in this administration is guilty of treason. Can you tell me? Do you want to name a name or a couple of names?
Okay, now what are you talking about, if what I say is accurate? What are you talking about?
If what you say is accurate, that the SEALs went into a situation with the enemy knowing exactly where they were.
Okay, no, I can't say that without a doubt. I believe they did. Now, but let me. I'm not backing off on that. I just want to be factual about this. I will say this: there are ways that the enemy could have known just simply because of the way we're operating. I'm not trying to say the White House made a phone call and said, here they come. But what I will say is this, sir, because of the way we are operating and because of the ROE that this president, if you look at the numbers from up till 2009 under George Bush, there were 630 men killed or 630 some odd warriors killed in Afghanistan. After 2009, 1,500 and some odd under Obama in the next 5 years. We did our heaviest fighting under George Bush. 15,000 wounded under Obama. I can't remember the number, but it's less than 2,000 wounded under Bush. And Obama adopted or implemented the coin strategy in Afghanistan after he became president, went into hearts and minds. And because of what he did there, I will say this man needs to be punished. Yes, I do believe there are people in this White House guilty of treason, and not just for what happened to my son, but for what they are doing to our military, gutting our military. For what can you imagine? Just think about this 1 minute. On September 10th, 2011, if Osama bin Laden, if Mullah Omar, if Dr. Al-Zawahiri and Al-Zarqawi from Iraq had all gotten together and set goals for where they wanted to be in 2015, this would be beyond their wildest dream that in 2015, after over 13 years of war against the mightiest military in the world, we, the Americans, have fought to, at best, a stalemate. We have Iraq, and we have Afghanistan, we have Libya, we have Yemen, all fallen. We have Egypt in chaos. We have 7,000 dead Americans. We're $20 trillion in debt. We have 50,000 wounded Americans. And in the kinetic war, they've fought us to a draw. If you consider the informational war and the cultural war, which are also two fronts of war where we are under full attack in this country, guys, we're losing 700-0.
Yep.
And it's not because we don't have the best military. It's because our government is involved in deceiving our military and the American people about who this enemy is.
And by the way, when Billy talks about ROEs, he's talking about the rules of engagement, the rules that we set to allow we send them over there to fight a war and then tell them they can't fight the war. I want to go back to Nostradamus for his other question, but first I want to get Dr. Ken's reaction about what Billy just said and the difference that setting rules of engagement can make in a conflict. Dr. K? Do we still have Dr. K?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, did you get that from Billy? And can you
I got all that, and it's amazing how the politicians set these rules of engagement where, you know, we're standing watch on base without allowed to have ammunition in our guns. We carry guns, but no ammo. You know, you have to do all these checks and verifies before you're allowed to pull the trigger.
It's
incredible the way they put them in harm's way. And, you know, if you want to think about going back to the game of chess, well, they've created a whole board of pawns with only a couple people to make decisions and be protected.
Yeah,
it's really disgusting.
Well, I know Lair and I had the opportunity to meet Herschel Woody Harrelson, mm-hmm. Williams, he of course is a Medal of Honor winner from Iwo Jima, World War II, and
last surviving.
And he said if we had to fight World War II with today's rules of engagements, we surely would have lost.
And I agree.
I believe he's absolutely right. Let me go back to Nostradamus for one more question for Billy Vaughn. Nostradamus.
Quick question, quick answer. On our Facebook page, American Adversaries Search, is a link to Operation 300. Can you tell us in a sentence or two what that's all about, Billy?
Yes, sir. Thank you for bringing that up. Operation 300, our family started this organization in Aaron's honor. And we bring in, in fact, just last weekend, we just had a camp. We had 27 boys and girls who've lost their dads in the military and their moms, put their moms up out on the beach. The kids take part in an adventure camp. They come from all over our country. They've come from Florida. They've come from as far away as Washington State and Alaska. No expense to them. And they do things that are hard to do with their mom. They do things that they would have done with their dad, like fish, sail, shoot guns, archery, ride horses, airboat rides, things like that. They have each kid has a male mentor, for the weekend I say this very lightly because I know it can't be done, but to try to fill the place of dad. And so that's what it's all about. That's what that's about.
That's Operation 300. And Nostranitz, you say we're linked up with that on our Facebook page?
That's right there on our most recent
Facebook. Thank you all for doing that very, very much.
Well, I certainly enjoyed talking with you today, Billy. I wish the circumstances were much different. But once again, I want to thank you for everything. And, keep up the good fight. And we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Thank you all very much for having me. And, this is too big of a deal for us to lose, after so many have given so much, So.
And don't go away because I want Ken to give you the final goodbye. Dr. K, the final word to Billy Vaughn.
Billy, thank you very much for everything you do. And if you ever need anybody to come down and do counseling for your project, please give me a call. I work with Wounded Warrior, Honor Flight, and all those. I'm a disabled American veteran of myself, and my heart is right there with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your service. Thank you very much for your service, sir.
No, my pleasure.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the right place. It is the American Adversaries. And what a fascinating conversation with a great American, Billy Vaughn. And, of course, he and Karen and their great son. You'll be able to hear them speak Monday at the Greater Orlando Tea Party, Eastmont Civic Center. Please be there. And the doors open at 6:30. It's free. Please come out and hear for yourself, and you'll be able to ask questions to Billy and Karen Vaughn. And I certainly going to make the attempt to be there myself, so I hope to see you there. And once again, another great guest sponsored by the Greater Orlando Tea Party. Okay, and please don't forget to tomorrow, the Old Florida Outdoor Festival in northwest Apopka. Take Park Avenue north to Poncan, go west, and you just follow the signs. $15 will get you in one day, $25, 2 days, $30 for special seating for the concerts. It's going to be a lot of fun for the whole family. So, and get on out there tomorrow and see the crew, like Roger Franklin Williams is going to be there doing his show live from 10 to noon. The Stag Sports guys will be there at 1 o'clock. Armed Room guys are going to be there live at 3 o'clock. Shivering probably, but they'll all be there, and it'll be a lot of fun. So stop by and see them.
It's going to be a beautiful
day.
At the
information tent, that's right.
Chilly,
and
but...
tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries, if you would. And don't forget to sign up for the American Adversaries Army, or as like Lair said, it's a great idea. Sign your loved one up for the American Adversaries Army, and they'll get a great newsletter that we're really working hard to get to you folks.
Hey, it's a Valentine's Day present. That'll really work.
That's right. Like Lair says, it'll be the gift that keeps on giving. And so are the liberals. And I had Nick play that bump, Dirty Laundry, because we got a little bit of dirty laundry tonight, don't we, Nostradamus? Nostradamus?
Everybody in America saw it. So.
Oh, they did.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or as they call her, the notorious RBG. Apparently, she was a little, sober as a judge is a phrase that can't really be applied to her because she fell asleep during the President's State of the Union address on national TV.
She says
it was because of some fine California wine that Justice Kennedy brought in for dinner before the event.
So he liquored her up. He was going to have his way with her, I guess. Is that it?
Well, he's not the first. 2 years ago, she blames Anthony Kennedy for bringing another very good California wine to dinner before the 2012 State of the Union address. And, you know, I kind of don't blame her, because if I had to watch that address, I'd probably fall asleep, too.
And you wouldn't even need the shot of wine to do it to you, either.
No. Yeah, isn't there a law against setting government policy while drunk?
Setting it, yes. Well, other people blather about it? Absolutely not.
I guess it kind of explains some of the decisions coming out of that place, though, doesn't it?
Well, it could. I'm not sure if they have a wet bar when they make their decisions, but it sure sounds like it sometimes.
Well, it just sounds like the old justice down the hall will just bring the old canister in, you know, the old flask out of his robe. And all right, great work, Nostradamus, and we'll see you Sunday night.
All right, see you then.
And we're going to have Ken Patera, the world's strongest man, on Sunday night. And Monday, Abe Katzman and Lloyd Marcus is going to join us. Dr. K, are you on your way to the gala?
I am on my way. I'm on the parking lot known as 528 right now.
Yeah.
I'm coming up to the big toll booth by the airport.
Wait a minute.
I should be there within 15 minutes, though.
So. Yeah,
I'll save you a seat.
Okay.
I thought Dr. K was the world's strongest man.
When you're talking about brain power, yes.
Well, thank you for that.
All right. I'll see you over there as soon as the show's over here in 31 seconds. I'm out of here. All right. Thanks.
Save you a seat.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. K. And, of course, we're going to go into the 2015 Lincoln Day Dinner and Gala, where I'm going to give Rand Paul an earful. That's right, folks.
Are you going to get to sidle up with him at the bar, Chris?
I am. Woo! That's right. And I promise you I will not fall asleep during his speech. All right, don't forget, folks, to join us Sunday night live at 5 for our 3-hour tour. And once again, happy birthday to your mama.
And happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Thanks, Chris.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative. AM 660, The Answer.